Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
I am Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning in today, 908 on KDXU. Good to be here. I'm happy. It's a good day. Weekend is coming. A lot of cool stuff to talk about. Mello is here, too. I know you're all jacked up and good to go over there.
I am. Yeah.
Okay. I know you have. She has to go in and push some magic buttons because to sync the phone line in that room with this room, and there's all kinds of weird things. Once you learn it, it's not hard. But at first, you're like, now what? You have to push what and do what? And
it's a scary looking board for sure.
Well, not only that, last week we did a football game in that. So we called into that studio. And there were all kinds of weird buttons you had to figure out for the call-in, too. Mm-hmm. But we got it all figured out by middle of the first quarter. We were really good.
We were rolling.
Maybe the pregame, not so much. But by the middle of the first quarter, we got there. All right. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about living within your means, budgeting, making money work for you instead of you having to work all the time for your money. We're going to talk a little bit about. So this one is flying under the radar, and I don't want to launch into it just yet. But it's about. So have you noticed? And I'm sure you have, the folks out there, that puberty used to be. You hit puberty 14, 15, right in there. Now kids are hitting puberty at the age of 10, 11, 12, especially girls. So we're going to talk about a discovery made by some medical professionals about what may be prompting that. It's not Twinkies, although we can blame Twinkies for a lot. But, we do want to, before we get into some of this other stuff, Mello, you have a public service announcement, kind of, something coming up for folks?
Yeah, there's going to be, and I'm not hosting this, but I do know somebody who is. It's the Keys to Home Ownership Seminar, okay. And it's free.
So I was going to say, it sounds expensive. It's free?
It's free. The Chenoa Fund is sponsoring it, and then my friend David Busk over at Fathom Realty with the real estate group. And it's going to be September 26th at 136 North 100 East Street in St. George from 5:30 to 7.
13 days from now, September 26th. Okay. And what would you say keys to home? What does that mean? What are we going to be talking about?
Well, when there's a lender there, they're probably going to be talking about different options to be able to get funding. And he does have another surprise. I don't want to give away his whole thing.
Ooh, a surprise.
He has a way to help people that think they can't get home ownership to get additional funding with different kinds of grants and different kinds of things that you may not know about that could help you with that initial down payment to get into a house.
Okay. That is September 26th. Mm-hmm. What time and where?
It's from 5:30 to 7. And there's actually sandwiches and pastries by Farmstead.
Ooh.
That's all you had to say.
Okay, you just upped the ante right there, baby.
That's right. 136 North, 100 East. So.
Oh, right downtown.
Yeah, so it should be a good time.
And there, what business is it?
It's the Chenoa Fund and Fathom Realty.
I mean the host is, so is.
Where is it at? I think it's at the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. And it doesn't cost anything.
It's free.
Free, and they're going to have Farmstead. But do you have to RSVP or anything? You just show up and.
I do believe that you can just show up.
Nice.
Or David Busk at Fathom Realty. You can talk to him.
I got to tell you, I love free seminars, but when you said there was going to be free Farmstead,
I
was like, oh.
That's your number, huh?
I love that place. You know, I went to Europe and I could spend the whole show on this, but so I grew up, my grandpa owned bakeries, and so I have this special affinity for baked goods, for pastries in particular, and because we didn't live in Utah. He owned 5 bakeries here in Utah. We didn't live here, but when we came to visit, we were given kind of carte blanche on the bakeries, like whatever you want, you know, and so we'd get like warm glazed. I mean, they were still warm from having been cooked, and he'd open up the soda machines and we could get a bottle of, you know, of a grape knee high. a tribute there to Gary Berghoff, uh-huh. Radar O'Reilly, right? But Grape Knee High or whatever it is, Dr. Pepper, whatever it is we wanted. And so, yeah, one of the things I was maybe most excited about going to Europe was they are renowned for their incredible pastries. And they delivered, man. It was good. And when I came back to town, I got to thinking, and this was with all due respect to every other bakery in this town, the only one even close to European pastries was Farmstead.
Really?
So, yeah.
There you go. Sorry. I love a good pastry, too.
So good. All right, I got something for you here. Okay. It is Friday the 13th. Yeah. If you have a fear of Friday the 13th, I've been practicing, by the way, this word. The word you may be looking for to describe your unease is 11 syllables and a nightmare to pronounce. You may have a case of periscavidecatriophobia, the fear of Friday the 13th.
I got my driver's license on Friday the 13th.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And how many crashes have you been in?
That were my fault?
No, just total crashes.
Oh, probably like 3 or 4.
Okay. All right.
Not very many.
For
how old I am.
I was not going to say for your advanced age or anything like that. You're younger than me. So, by the way, if you just have a fear of the number 13, then it is triskaidekaphobia, which is not as bad as the number of fear of Friday the 13th. But, yes, I have been practicing saying those.
That's impressive.
And you should have heard the first two times I said it on air this morning at 6 o'clock this morning. It was brutal. I did not do well. But I have been practicing periscavidecatriophobia.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Can you spell it though?
Well, it's on the screen in front of me, so of course I can. No, I could not.
No, me either.
Let's see. If you're one of those who don't want to tempt fate on Friday the 13th, then you might want to be careful not to do things that, according to legend, bring bad luck your way, like walking under a ladder, breaking a mirror, or opening an umbrella indoors. And for safe measure, stay away from black cats. You know, some of those seem just kind of logical, like walking under a ladder. It may be bad luck, but it also could mean you get a paint can dropped on your head.
Right.
Or somebody would fall on you. I'm banned from ladders because I've had some health issues and part of with the motorcycle crash is my balance is not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife's like, you are not going on a ladder ever again. No,
that's really wise, though.
My dad tells a story, I guess a neighbor of his, a guy was on the ladder, fell off the ladder on his wife. He died immediately and she died like 2 weeks later.
No.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I don't think it's superstition to be careful around ladders. It's just logic, it seems like to me.
Yeah. That's terrible.
It is terrible. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Did it happen on Friday the 13th?
I don't think so. Okay. But who knows? I don't think we've had a Friday the 13th in a while. I can't remember the last time we had a Friday the 13th. So
yeah,
it's been a while. All right, I got a couple of headlines, a couple of stories off the wire today. Obesity rates in America are at an all-time high. The number is a little bit staggering. Adults 20 and up, 42.9% of adults in America are obese or morbidly obese. And if you just go down to the overweight or the, you know, fat category, not obese, but overweight, if you throw those in, we're up to 74% of America is overweight. We landed in Amsterdam on my trip, and I didn't see any, there were no overweight people in Amsterdam. Yeah. And I started thinking why, and they're renowned for having a lot longer, like 5 years longer lifespan than we do in America. And one thing I noticed, especially in Amsterdam, everyone biked everywhere. There were probably 10 times as many bicycles as there were cars on the road. And I guess bicycle theft is a big problem there. But other than that, I mean, it's a good idea. It's a lot more compact, though. Like, you could fit the whole city of Amsterdam probably in our little St. George Valley and add over a million people, and we're at 100,000, 200,000 in the county. Yeah. So,
you know what's also interesting is, like, when I was in high school, and I was in high school in the 90s, the early 90s, and the kids in the high school, there was maybe one or two people that was heavier set.
Right.
if you go to schools now, like even if you look at the cheerleaders, and I haven't watched any games this year.
Well, be careful here.
I know, but if you look at the kids, there's not as many thin and healthy weight kids as there was even 30, 40 years ago.
That same study that talked about 42% of Americans being obese said 22-point-something% of adolescents are obese.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I'm not saying overweight, because that number is way higher if we just go overweight. These are the ones that are deemed obese, which means they're not just overweight, they're kind of big.
Okay, so here's another conspiracy theory about this I can throw in.
Okay.
Okay. So do you know how Philip Morris had the cigarettes and they added the nicotine to make him addictive and then they had the lawsuit and all that?
Mm-hmm.
I heard, and I haven't substantiated any of this, but just for fun, for grins and giggles.
Okay.
Okay. They have said that the same companies that have like bought up Philip Morris are now doing the same kinds of things with our food and adding addictive chemicals and addictive different things into the food to make them addictive, to make you want to buy more and eat more. And that's increasing the obesity rate because of the things they're adding to our foods.
That is a believable conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I will say this. I guess I understand it from the manufacturer's viewpoint, but it shocks me that America is okay with high fructose corn syrup. It is cheaper. It is a chemical that is cheaper to produce than sugar, but has the same, basically, effect as sugar. So, and if you drink a soda pop, if you eat a piece of candy, there's about a 99.9% chance, if you're in America, that it has high fructose corn syrup in it. And we're okay with that. And I just like, every once in a while they'll do a throw, hey, now with real pure cane sugar in it. But most of the time, if you eat something sweet, it has high fructose corn syrup.
So what's the alternative to the high fructose corn syrup? Because I make
just sugar.
I know, but I make my own syrups. Like I make maple syrup. I make another kind of syrup. And the maple syrup, you actually do put that high fructose corn syrup in it with the sugar and the brown sugar and the water.
Wow,
so what
is
would
sweet.
Be? Oh, it's delicious. But what is the substitute for that consistency? That's what I would like to know. If I knew a healthier, less healthy substitute for that, then I would definitely try it. But I really don't know.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's way, way, way cheaper to produce. And so that's why the big manufacturers use it instead of sugar. It's cheaper. I don't think it's a consistency thing at that level. It would be at a home level, personal level. But at that level, I don't think it has anything to do with consistency. I think it has to do with they can produce X amount of, you know, soda pop or candy or cookies by using high fructose corn syrup instead of sugar. So they do it because it saves them money.
That's true, because they can make it faster and cheaper probably.
All right. This came across the wire this morning, Mello, and I want to get your reaction to it. But I also want to highlight it because I think I'm shocked that this isn't a big headline. Like, shouldn't we be worried about this? And here it is. A new study out of Boston shows, oops, I'm reading the wrong one. Where did it go? All right, well, let's read this one. This is not the one I was talking about, but a new study out of Boston shows that high doses of ADHD drugs are producing more psychosis and mania in young people. So if your kid is on ADHD drugs, you better be very careful in keeping an eye on how much your kid is taking. Here's the one I was talking about that was shocking to me. I found it. A federal study suggests that early puberty, like going through puberty at 10, 11, 12 instead of 14, 15. It's a growing issue in America, may be linked to a common chemical found in many personal care products. You're going, now, wait, what? Yeah, think soap, hand soap, shampoo, body soap, dish soap. Yeah, it's called Musk Ambretta and is used in a lot of inexpensive, like the generic, right, or counterfeit fragrances and other scented personal care products such as lotion, body washes, and shampoos. Researchers at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences believe that Musk Ambretta can trigger early maturation by latching onto puberty-related brain receptors. In May, a Harvard study showed that more than 15% of girls now experience early periods defined as younger than the age of 11. Can you imagine that?
No.
That can produce shortened stature and higher adulthood risks of things like breast cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. We all want to save money. How many times do you read, the generic, it's the same as the name brand, just cheaper. Well, how is it cheaper? Well, they put some substitute chemicals in it. And those chemicals, a lot of them, are ones that are bringing on early onset puberty.
That's interesting. I've heard before that they had been putting hormones in, like, the milk and the meat and stuff, and that's what was causing the early maturation. So it's kind of interesting to hear that
ended up as kind of a dead end. They did studies on that, and they thought, this is why, and they got to the end, and they're like, actually, the difference is negligible.
Really?
So they went looking for another cause, and I think they're onto something here.
No, I do. I do believe that. And I've also heard that, like, the scents that you're smelling, you know, like, a lot of people have candles. Like, my daughter has candles all over her house, and, like, the Febrezes and all those.
I love scented candles.
Right, yeah. But they don't actually, this is what I heard, they don't actually, like, change the odor. What they do is they block the receptors in your nose with just chemicals, and that it's actually an endocrine disruptor to have those kinds of things in your homes.
Wow.
So there's just all sorts of things that, you know, they're not, I don't think they're built with the intention to do those things to us, but we're just learning about what the effects of those items are.
Well, I think, you know, we trusted, as Americans, you and I, all the consumers out there, we trusted the FDA to have our back, to make sure that there weren't things in what we buy that could potentially harm us. And I think in doing so, first of all, the FDA is the most advanced product, you know, consumer safety product commission in the world, but it obviously doesn't catch everything. And if there's a hot new product, like if people are buying up, you know, cheaper lotion because it's cheaper, and the FDA doesn't have any long-term studies on this, whatever it was called, Ambrosia.
The Musk Ambretta.
Ambretta. It didn't have any long-term studies on that. They said, well, it seems okay to us. And then as it turns out, it's not okay.
Yeah, no, that is, it is terrible. And I have noticed in my younger girls that their things started a lot earlier than my older girls. And I don't know if it's the products we were using or what, but
might be.
It's like, wow, how is that possible? You're like 11. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm not a biology expert, but I think that when they start their periods earlier, that shortens their window, but their window of time for conceiving also begins too.
It would have to, right?
So it could also lead to infertility when they're actually ready to get married and start a family, having started like 5, 6, 7 years earlier than most people.
They also said it would, it increased the odds of shortened stature. So people would, once you go through puberty, you no longer grow height. I mean, puberty is when you really have your growth spurt.
That's true.
And if you have an early growth spurt or maybe a very short growth spurt, then all of a sudden you have people who maybe aren't quite as tall, too.
Yeah, so. I don't know. My one daughter, she's already 5'9", and she's 14.
Wow.
So I think she'll catch up to her sisters around 5'10".
Tall girl.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. But you're only, what, 5'4"?
5'9". You're so funny.
You're 5'9"?
Yes.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, I am. Really? You're just so tall. You tower over everyone.
I'm not going to lie. I don't have a sense of people's height unless they're really short or really tall because I'm up here at 6'5", and someone will ask me, oh, boy, that person was, they were kind of short. I'm like, they were?
Everyone, you just see the top of everyone's head.
Like, if you go under 5'11", I don't know the difference between 5'11 and 5'4". So you're 5'9"?
I'm 5'9". Well, my driver's license says 5'9". Really? My husband is also 6'5", and he says that I'm only 5'8". And he, like, no joke, at their Sunday dinners, there's like a wall at my mother-in-law's house, and everybody gets measured. And there's, like, lines with everybody's height. And he says, you're only 5'8". And he made me get up there and said I was 5'8". And I'm like, my driver's license says 5'9", so you can stuff it. So I'm 5'9", and I don't care.
And we can believe the exact numbers on the driver's license, can't we? Like, the weight line, yeah. I'm sure we're all exactly that weight.
The weight is true, too.
Yeah.
At one point in time, it was true.
Well, that's true. I passed it on the way up. High weight. Yeah.
Coming back down.
So. I just think, you know, back to the topic that we were talking about, the chemicals and the I have Dr. Blodgett on often, and he always says, you know, we need to go easy on processed foods. Foods that have, and that's kind of a catch-all phrase, but foods that have been altered for your consumption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, non-processed foods would be like fruits and vegetables, meat. You can actually, you know, if you get meat, raw meat, like, you know, that hasn't been, well, processed, you know, we're talking about, like, say, you know, a brisket versus bologna, you know.
Right.
And I know brisket tastes better already, but also, you know, you get a package of honey ham or whatever. That's processed meat. They've done stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
They've added chemicals to it to make it more palatable for you. And so, but every time that they're allowed to tinker with stuff, they add things that we just don't know the answer. FDA is trying to protect us, but we just don't know how bad these things really are.
Right.
And we're finding out this Musk Ambretta stuff mm-hmm. is, oh, by the way, it's causing kids to go into puberty at 10 Jeez. Instead of 14.
Yeah. And then also with the boar's head meat this last
bit.
And the listeria, and a couple of people have died, and that's processed meat too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And boar's head actually has a pretty solid reputation going into this whole problem.
Yeah. So, I used to buy that when I lived in another place, and I used to make those kind of sandwiches all the time. But yeah, it's scary. You have to really kind of take control of your food and what you feed your family and how you prepare it. And if you go to a restaurant, sometimes you don't ever know what's happening behind the counter. So you just have to really trust the place you go to.
Two other news notes from today. They're making a new Office series. It's not like an exact remake. It's going to be in a newspaper in a small town. I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know if you can ever replace Michael Scott and Jim Halpern and, you know, that group, Dwight Schrute.
They had the best chemistry.
That was, sometimes you capture a little lightning in a bottle and, mm-hmm. They had a remake of Hawaii Five-0, and some of you might have liked the remake of Hawaii, but it'll never be, you know, the Hawaii Five-0 or Magnum. They had a remake of Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
And come on, Tom Selleck is Magnum. I don't know who this other guy is, but
right.
Come on.
It's and
Tom
Quantum Selleck. Leap. They've tried it a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. Also, this one a little alarming. Firearms are the leading cause of death for children and teenagers in the United States. Firearms. Now, it's not just suicide is part of it, but also it is kids getting a hold of firearms and either committing murder or, you know, maybe the gun accidentally going off and mm-hmm. someone getting hurt. And as you know, Mello, I'm a firearms advocate. I believe that Americans should have the right to own firearms. But for heaven's sakes, if you have children in the house, even up and into, you know, teenagers, lock them up. Make sure they're not, you know, go in the room and grab it type situations.
Right, right.
I saw a commercial the other day about teens and suicide, and it said most teens are resolute to commit suicide for about 10 minutes, and then they come off of this, whatever has taken over their brain, and they mm-hmm. say, oh, okay, maybe I probably shouldn't do that. Said, but if they have easy access to a gun where they can get that gun within that 10-minute window, they are, I forget the number, they are so much more likely to commit suicide mm-hmm. if they have easy access to a gun. So I am by no means saying don't have guns, because that's every American's right. But I am saying if you have guns, don't make them so dang easily accessible that a child, even a teenager, could get a hold of them. Lock them up.
And also same goes for medications.
Yeah. No, good yeah. point. Yeah,
no,
good
we have point. We actually have our medication closet locked with a key, just to prevent any problems like that.
Good addendum. Thank you, Mello. All right, we're going to check weather. We're behind here, so here we go. All right, welcome back. I didn't have the music queued up, so we're just going to talk. I'm Mello.
Hi.
And the reason I didn't have the music queued up is I was reaching across the desk here to pick up I've got two free Dave's single combo meal. Two free combo meals at Wendy's if you give me a call right now, 673-5890. I'm going to turn Mello's mic down so that she can answer the phone calls. 673-5890, caller number two for two free Dave's single combo meals at any Wendy's here in St. George. Again, two free Wendy's single. I think we already have a winner coming across, so I'm going to get the other one too. All right, I got them both. All right, they're right here. And I just knocked something else down, but that's the way it goes. Welcome back, everybody. And Mello's taking the phone calls, taking down some names, and we're getting ourselves a winner for the free combo meals. It's 9:38 on KDX. I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about budgeting. So when my kids wanted to get married, I have three married children now, and two of them are boys, one of them's a girl that are married, and I wanted to sit down with my children and say, now, do you understand what a budget is all about? And they're like, yeah, yeah, I learned a little bit about budgeting. And I'm like, yeah, but do you really understand that when you get married and move into an apartment, mom and dad aren't going to pay your rent. Mom and dad aren't going to pay your cell phone bill. Mom and dad aren't going to pay the gas for your car. You have to figure out a budget. And my kids are like, well, okay, yeah, I know what a budget is. It's, you know, you, how much money you have versus how much you spend. I'm like, yeah, but that's the thing. You've never, because you've always lived at home, or even when you went to college, a lot of the, most of the money you got was, came from mom and dad. And so I took it very seriously in explaining to my daughter who is married and my two sons who are married how important a budget is. I said, you've got to write down, you know, the key, really the biggest key to a budget, write down exactly how much money you take home, not pre-tax money, post-tax money, how much money you take home, and then figure out how much money you spend. And that number on the left, the money you take home, has to be at least as big as the number on the right. And if the number on the right is bigger than the number on the left, you got to make some changes. And Mello's back. All right. We got a winner, by the way.
Yeah, her name is Patty. See?
All right, Patty. Way to go, Patty. I know Patty.
Oh, too.
Yeah, anyway, back to the budget thing. And by the way, Patty gets the two free combo meals at Wendy's. So, and I'm not a big fan of the triple berry frosty, by the way. I don't want it. I love Wendy's. Great food. Either the chocolate or the vanilla is, mm-hmm. is good for me. So, but we'll let Patty do. Maybe she'll try it and like it. I don't know. Back to the budget, though. So young people, I don't think they have this class in high school anymore.
No, they do.
They do have
it? They do. My kids went to Snow Canyon, and there was a Dave Ramsey class.
Really?
Budgeting, yeah.
Budgeting class.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Financial piece.
Yeah. I think that this is a tool that our kids are under-armed with. They don't have the weapons, you know, they need to be armed with the idea that when you're on your own, when you move out and you're on your own, there's no more mom's going to bail me out or dad is going to send me a check or whatever. It's most of the time they've got to figure out, like I said, that number on the left has got to be bigger than the number on the right. And preferably, if you can manage it, the experts recommend 20% savings too. So if you take that right off the top, and then to say, if you're a religious person, you're tithing as well, you know, it gets a little harder to make those numbers work. And so I just kind of felt like it was important to go over the stuff a little bit, talk about a budget a little bit. Now, Mello, in your house, who is the budgeter?
Oh, that would...
That's you.
I'm in charge of the money. How's that? I don't really do a very good budget. I get my paycheck, and I get a large like lump sum when I get my paychecks, and I put them into my business account, and then I have my accountant give me my paycheck.
We have an accountant, do we?
Yes, we have an accountant with an S corporation. And then I pay the bills.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. My accountant said I needed it, though. So I have the S corporation. It helps me on taxes, so I'm a W-2 employee of my own company.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm. So I don't get taxed as much.
Okay.
We could have my accountant on. He could talk about it.
Yeah, no.
But the cool thing that I have heard that I am going to start implementing is something that my sister-in-law, Nicole, does. And what she does is when her kids are younger and they're getting jobs like around 14, 15, 16, when they get their check, they are required to take half of that check and immediately put it into savings, and they're not allowed to touch it. And then when they move out at 18, they at least have something because they haven't spent their whole check. But then I was actually talking to my cousin about this the other day, and her parents were really wealthy, and they would match anything their kids put into savings. So if their kids put $100, they would put $100 into their savings.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah. then when their kids took money out of savings, then they would match the withdrawal as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I thought that if you had enough money, like that would be a great way to reinforce the savings aspect because you get to double your money, like a matching 401k kind of thing. I don't know. I thought it was nice. a cool idea.
So my wife and I've this has been well documented. She deserves a sainthood. There should be a Saint Shelley out there somewhere.
There should be.
But for ever since our children have been born, she has taken $25 a month for each child as soon as we get our paycheck and put it in an education fund for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about that, every month for 18 years or 19 years or whatever, actually she never stopped. So she's still doing it, even though they're now beyond that age. And she started with for our grandchildren, too.
Oh, I love that.
But my kids, and you know, bless their hearts, are good kids. But there were a couple of different times they'd use that money. Ah, yeah, money's in that education. That's nice to have. And, you know, whatever. And they'd go off and use it to take classes. And I'm like, I tried to explain to one of my sons. I'm like, you know where that money came from, right? And they're like, oh, it's the education fund. I got it out of the education fund. I said, do you understand that for five kids, okay, do the math, five kids, $25 a month. So $125 a month every month for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And actually 33 years if you start with the first kid and move on. But $125, I said, do you understand that we made sacrifices? We didn't buy things that we could have bought. We didn't go on trips that we could have gone on because it was a priority to us and especially my wife to make sure that money got in their education funds first.
Yeah.
And my kids are like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then
that's pretty cool and go on.
And then they go on with life.
So I actually just 2 years ago opened the 529 education funds for my two younger kids mm-hmm. that are still at home. And I've been putting money into them, but my kids are actively involved because they know that I'm putting money into it every month. And so my seven-year-old's like, what's in my account? How much do I have right now?
Really?
Like, yeah, he wants to follow it.
Nice.
And then my other daughter wants to go to beauty school when she gets out of high school. So I'm just putting the money away now. So that won't be a hindrance to her pursuing that later.
Nice.
So,
very nice.
Yeah, but I didn't do it for my other kids. But luckily, when I got divorced, I was poor enough that they all got the Pell Grant. So they all went to school.
Yeah, and there was some time, when I went to college, my wife and I, we used some Pell Grants mm-hmm. because we were pretty dang poor. You mm-hmm. know, we were eating ramen every night. And
I've been there.
Yeah, But I just, you know, I try to get my kids to understand, especially, you know, and then they go off to college and they use this education fund and they would use it for, you know, to pay for their apartment room, not apartment, you know, the room in an apartment. They'd use it for their tuition. They use it for books and everything. And I don't think even until they got married, I don't think any of them really quite, it really like switched on, the light switched on in their head that was actually money. My parents sacrificed and put in for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But to my kids' credit, every one of them, when we got married, I said, now here's the budget thing. Now that education money is still there for you if you know if you want to use it, but once it's gone, it's gone. We will not be paying your cell phone bills anymore. They could stay on our insurance until they were 25. So I still have two kids left on my insurance, the two that are under 25. But I said, you know, when you turn 25, you have to pay your own health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to help you pay your rent. We're not going to buy food for you, although you're welcome to come over anytime you want to our house and raid the pantry, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an eye-opener for these kids because they're like, wait, rent is how much? Wait,
mm-hmm.
I have to spend how much on gas and utilities? What are those?
I know.
You know, wait, I have to pay for electricity and trash? I have to pay for the water? Yes,
and
you do.
Internet.
Yeah, and internet, yeah. and you know, as the grown-ups in the room, as the parents, I failed them in not helping them understand that. I don't know, kids have enough worries, right? To try to burden them with that is not very fair.
Yeah.
But I think maybe I was a little too much. Like they had no concept of, you know, all the bills that we had to pay every month until they got married, and then they learned in a hurry.
Yeah, no, I've got my one daughter moving out in a couple weeks, and we're going over the things that she's going to have to pay for, and she's like, wait, I have to pay for that. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and you're going to have a car, and your car payment is going to be this. So you're going to want to get the other job as soon as you get there and not wait, because you're going to need the money to keep paying it. So
one of the stories I love that you used to tell was when your daughter, it was her birthday. And she's like, I want this and this and this and this. But she's an adult now. And so you're like, well, okay, I'm going to put a little bit of money in your account. And
happy birthday.
That's it. That's your birthday. And she's like, but, because everything she wanted was way more than what you were given.
I know. It's true. They do. They get.
Welcome to adulthood.
I still do get the Christmas lists from my kids, but do I don't mind, because then I can just pick a couple of things off of the list get it.
See, the one thing is torpedoed to all this plan, and I got to get a commercial break in here, but the one thing that has kind of torpedoed this plan is this credit card debt that, and then a president and a potential president who are like, yeah, we'll forgive this and that and the other thing. I grew up, I was raised, and in my marriage too, believe that if you do not have debt, if you're able to keep yourself the right direction, it will pay off in the long run. It'll be worth it for you in the long run. Mm-hmm. And then I see people who didn't do what we did, didn't make the sacrifices, didn't keep their head above water. And then, well, all of a sudden their things are being forgiven them, or the government is printing money and sending it to them and stuff. And I'm like, so wait, all these years of sacrificing and I could have been just like them and been okay.
Right. But then you don't have that peace of mind.
You're right. You're right.
You did the right thing.
You're right. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Mello is here as well. And, this week we had the presidential debate. Kamala Harris actually did better than most people thought she would.
Do you want to hear about the conspiracy theory on that?
The earrings?
Yeah. I looked them up. They actually have some that like are pearls like that, that are inductors that actually send the volume right to your ear.
Yeah. I don't, you know, it's weird because on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, another conspiracy. This is crazy people. On the other hand, she wore the exact same earrings when she debated Mike Pence not that long ago. And when she debated Joe Biden, before he got the nomination 4 years ago, she wore the exact same earrings. It makes you wonder if there's something to that conspiracy. Is she basically the idea? The thing I was reading, somebody posted on St. George Word of Mouth or one of those that said they make earrings for a living, and they said that the trend right now in earrings is you want smaller earrings so that because everybody wants, you know, they talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. Right? Or they have the, what do they call it? Earpods?
AirPods.
Yeah, AirPods, yeah. So the trend in the business right now is smaller earrings that so you can talk on the phone, so you can wear your AirPods. And to have these big, giant earrings that, like, she was wearing in the debate makes zero sense, especially since she's worn them, like, two or three other times. And we're like, okay, so how did she get so good at answering a lot of these questions or changing the topic and attacking Trump? And there are people out there who say, well, somebody was clearly giving her the answers. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I didn't see the debate, but I did hear that about the earrings.
Yeah, I honestly believed that she was going to crash and burn because she is just not a very smart person, and that it was going to be, I mean, okay, take her brains aside. Think of some of the policies that she, that whole thing about, babies being able to be killed if the abortion fails. Gosh. That has happened 8 times in Minnesota. This is not conjecture. It's not a lie. This has happened 8 times in the state of Minnesota. And guess who's from Minnesota? Yeah, Walls, her vice presidential running mate. And so for ABC to go on and say, that's not true, none of that is true, well, that's pretty irresponsible of a quote-unquote news source. Mm-hmm. But Jimmy Kesson texted me during the debate, said, it's not going real great for president. He's kind of off his game a little bit. Mm-hmm. And she did manage to push a couple of buttons that, you know how there's that one person in your life or that one topic in your life that kind of gets your hackles up?
Yes.
I think they got his hackles up. My oldest son knows what buttons to push to get me fired up.
Oh.
He's so good at it. Maybe the only person in the world that can actually push those buttons, because I'm a pretty mellow guy.
Yeah.
But he knows how. He's good at it.
Yeah, that's interesting that they got him like that. I did hear he lost his cool a little bit.
Yeah, that's not to say he lost the debate, because he made some fantastic points. But I felt like, and kind of like Clem Buck have said, I felt like there were several times where he let her off the hook. He had an opportunity to really drive the nail home, so to speak, and he let her off the hook. So that was a little disappointing. But other than that, I think President Trump is going to be just fine. It is troubling that people cannot see Kamala Harris for what she is. And I mean, I know it's stupid, but all you have to do is compare your life right now, what you spend right now for gas, for groceries, for whatever, and compare it to what you spent 4 years ago in the waning months of Donald Trump's presidency. And Mello, it's just, it is so obvious. Mm-hmm. That life was better then than it is now.
Yeah, they even say, like groceries, when you've saved your grocery order, like on Walmart, if you go back like 3 or 4 years and try to order the same thing, it's like 3 times, 4 times as much.
Yes, it's unbelievable. All right, let's go to Debbie. Debbie's on line one. Hi, Debbie, what's up?
Hi, I'll try to hurry. I think what you're talking about before, it's smart for parents not to buy a lot for their kids or do too much for their kids, even if they have lots of money. And then as they're growing up, they don't do too much for them. Don't go a lot of places because they'll get spoiled that way. And out of that example, they'll learn how to spend money or take. And then also keep in mind your bills and pay them right away. And then also take good care of your things so you don't have to buy them very often. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. Use it up, wear it out. Make it do or do without.
That's right.
I love that. I love that saying. We only have a minute left. Back to the budget thing. One of the big expenses is car insurance. And I want to point people to an article that I published yesterday on the title of the article is Utah Auto Insurance Costs Soar Above National Average. Hidden in that article, I don't think hidden, but in that article, there are, I think it's 10 tips on ways to reduce your auto insurance, because it is brutal right now. And Utah is about $23 a month more than national average. That's bad. That is not good. And I know cars are more advanced and there's more things that need to be fixed if you get in an accident. But go to that article, 890kdxu.com. And in there are tips to reduce your auto insurance on a monthly basis so that it's not killing you as bad as it could. I mean, the tips are things like, well, I'm going to go over them real quick. Increase your deductible, double check what discounts you might qualify for instance, if your kids have good grades. Shop around. Don't be afraid to make a few phone calls. Maintain a good driving record. Yes, that really does matter. Explore payment options. Sometimes if you pay for a whole year all at once, you can actually save $10, $20, $30 a month. Improve your credit score. Do your work. If you work from home and don't drive very far, you can actually get another discount there. And, of course, review your current policy to make sure it is right on par with what you need. And, Mello, we've used up the time.
Sounds good.
Thanks for coming in today. Always great to talk to you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll see you on Monday.